Hi folks, so I've been thinking about what I really want to do with this Gemini capsule. I have a website for the World Wide Web, which has quite a few visitors, and I'm quite proud of how successful it is. But that doesn't necessarily reflect a lot more of my more creative side. Yes, I mess around with a Starsheet from time to time, but I've always felt that Gemini should be my creative space. And I think I'm going to put audio clips. I'm going to try and regularly upload as much as possible, or try and upload as regularly as possible to this capsule throughout the month of April to see where this goes. It's a little bit of an experiment in minimalism. So if any of you good folks have comments that you would like to share with me, you can email them to me, chrisware@posteo.net, and I'll try and include the email address on this page. If I can remember, I really should be able to remember. My contact information is available on the Gemini site anyway, Gemini capsule rather. But I've been thinking a lot about content distribution across the internet these days, and I'd like to just basically try out this as an avenue. When we look at YouTube, it is quite a corporate giant, isn't it? All things considered. And I really like YouTube. YouTube is probably my main source of entertainment. And there's great, there's educational stuff, there's entertaining stuff, there's all, you know, everything you can imagine is up there on YouTube. And I think it's pretty wonderful, to be honest. I thoroughly enjoy my time on YouTube. I enjoy making content for YouTube. I enjoy consuming content on YouTube. But it's no secret that Google and YouTube have put a lot of money into dominating that segment of the marketplace. We can look at PeerTube as a competitor, but it's an up-and-coming competitor to say the least. And to be honest, probably isn't really even pegged as a competitor, but maybe just a space for, you know, more freedom-respecting communities to distribute video. And I think that it genuinely challenges the systemic problems we have with YouTube. I take a look at LBRY, and I don't think that they do the same. I think that LBRY just wants to be YouTube. And I think that they don't really necessarily challenge the problems of centralization and corporatization of video sharing. Because all things considered, if you ignore the centralization and corporatization of video on the internet, YouTube does a pretty good job. Yes, there are sometimes problems with brigading and copyright strikes and all that kind of stuff. But all things considered, there's a great deal of value on that platform, and there's a great deal of value of making video as accessible and available to as many people as it has. And I think that PeerTube is really, really good in the way that it tries to provide an ethical and meaningful systemic alternative to YouTube as well. But what I like about this idea of throwing out audio clips and just hosting them on my own little space is that it's much more decentralized. I do not really realistically have the ability to host my PeerTube instance. I could really, if I, you know, I could learn how to do it, I could provide the resources, but at the end of the day, I'd probably be putting money into something that wouldn't really be worth it for the number of views I get, if I'm being completely honest. I think there would be better ways of doing it. And I think this might be one of them. A lot of my videos are just me sharing my thoughts, and I don't think that you necessarily need the entire bandwidth of video to do that. Having a small audio clip like this gets the content across sufficiently in many, many cases. Obviously, if I'm doing something screen capture-y, that's different. But I thought I might give this a go. I'm considering this as a bit of a minimal, an experiment in minimalism. So if you do have any comments for it, rather than have a comment section, email me through. I've been getting a lot of email comments as a result of me sort of expressing this as perhaps a preferred way to receive comments. And I've been getting some really wonderful emails from a lot of you folks. I do keep meaning to reply to as many as possible. I've not been wonderful at that, but I have been reading them all. And I think, yeah, like other than of course the advertising ones, hey, we'll pay you X amount of money to shill for our VPN or anything like that. I think fundamentally speaking, I think broadly speaking, I've had nothing but sheer quality and pleasant emails, and thoughtful, like really thoughtful ones and intelligent ones. And I think when you have comment section beneath a YouTube video, whilst my comment section is definitely better than the overwhelming majority of others, it's a very quick way to fire off a thought. And An email just gives you that extra step to compose something, and it's a little bit old school, and I really kind of like it. And email reminds me that it is a meaningful, sort of free software, sort of decentralized communication method that just works really well as it does. So we should, I think, you know, make efforts to make use of it. Everyone has an email account. Most people have several, as far as I understand it. I do. Whilst many people just use their email for, you know, receiving their Amazon receipts and as a notification platform for their favorite Twitch streamer or whatever, that's a use of email, and it means that people check their email and people engage with it, and that there is a platform there for communication, which I think is good. I've also noticed quite a few YouTubers that I follow have newsletters, and whereas I don't use my email to receive newsletters, I receive my newsletters through Newsblur. It's kind of cool to see them break away from the ecosystem of the big corporate giants, which I think is great. So, yeah, this is a bit of an experiment in minimalism. I just might share my thoughts on various things. I've been thinking a lot lately about sort of the systems that we are good at as free software, as a free software community, and also the systems that we're very bad at as well. The spaces that I don't think that we can, that I think the corporations are going to hold on to, maybe indefinitely, but also, I've been chatting with friends about, you know, the ephemerality of a lot of social networks as well. Like, I often would like to see free software succeed more in social spaces, because that allows communities to own their own spaces. And in some cases, we've done pretty well. But the thing is, of course, is that whilst today the cool up-and-comer is TikTok, I think most of us know that TikTok's not going to be here, well, certainly forever, if for very long at all, because before then it was Snapchat, before then it was Instagram, before then it was Twitter, before then it was Facebook, before then it was MySpace, and I'm probably missing out a whole bunch as well. That's not to mention, I don't know, do you remember Meerkat? Periscope, actually, was shut down yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. A friend of mine is a big Periscope person, and they were actually quite sad, but I mean, how many listening to this are familiar with Periscope? There are so many social networks these days that in and of itself has become decentralized, although not necessarily freedom respecting. Although, conversely to that, we've got the Fediverse, which has been around for over 10 years in, of course, different forms with different software engaging with it. But now that we've got the World Wide Web approved or ratified protocol in the way of ActivityPub, is it a protocol? I think it's a protocol, but I'm not necessarily sure on the technical side of it. But now that we've got ActivityPub, the Fediverse I get a lot of fun out of the Fediverse. I know it's not for everyone. I know that it can be raw and unfiltered and pretty crazy at times, but I do like it. But I also understand that, you know, it's not a place you're going to want to introduce grandma to, is it now? But then again, you know, and I don't think I think the Fediverse is genuinely here to stay. Of course, we can look at IRC as well as a social space. IRC is centralized, but there are many IRC servers out and about, and also the ability to set up your own IRC server is quite easy. IRC, of course, itself is a protocol. Same thing with XMPP. I've got an XMPP room. Chris Ware at muc.snopitar.org. That's available also on you can catch the address for that on the Gemini capsule itself. And I hang about there a fair amount, and I quite enjoy it. It's a little social space that is owned by the people. It's owned by Snopitar, but it's owned by free software advocates, and I like that. That's meaningful to me. But I also feel that it would be nice if the free software world would be able to extend this courtesy to people who are not technically savvy, and to actually provide the opportunity for communities to own where they reside on the internet without necessarily needing technical knowledge or even a true understanding of the benefits of free software. And I think this is quite a mountain to climb. Drew says that without teaching people why free software is important and good, people's loyalty to free software platforms will always be fleeting. And I think he has a very good point there. So it might not necessarily just be a case of creating the best platform, but sharing with people the ideals of free software. And I think that's kind of very difficult. So I'd like to hear your folks' thought about that. I've got quite a few other thoughts about what I think, you know, in terms of where the free software movement should look to, you know, the frontiers it should look to conquer, because I don't make Linux videos anymore, or certainly it's not a regular appearance on the docket. And the reason for that is because Linux is kind of complete. I can do everything on Linux that I can do on Windows and vice versa, barring a handful of games. But really, you know, if you can't find games to suit you out of the thousands available, I think that's much more of a you problem. That being said, there are a few social games that I'm sure people would like to join in, but you can all, you know, with streaming through GeForce Now, you can get Fortnite and a lot of the other stuff that would usually lock Linux clients out with anti-cheat. And it does appear that the solution for anti-cheat on Linux is coming down the pipeline soon enough, not that I particularly care. And you know, I think also possibly an area where free software could be celebrated a little bit more is in gaming. A lot of the free software games are not necessarily going to be better than other corporate games in their genres, but to have gaming communities that own, that sort of collectively own or are associated with the games that they enjoy, I feel that is particularly meaningful. In the gaming world, I don't think that that's necessarily something that has to be applicable across the board. I don't think that necessarily has to mean that your average gamer needs to appreciate the nuances of free software gaming. But I think that it's a particularly pleasant avenue to build communities there. Every time I've gone down the rabbit hole of a particular open source game, the communities around that game I always find are the best in gaming culture. But I suppose, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think Linux is, you know, it's there. It does everything I need it to. I feel the last sort of frontier of Linux was streaming, and with OBS that came full circle. I suppose Proton might have been in there as well, but in all honesty, when it comes to games, I think that in some ways Linux was better before Steam and Proton came along, when we had a small handful of games, but like the entire like Linux community and the free software community, like all, you know, like had played them and knew them. And whenever there was any kind of gaming news, like it was much more, like it felt much more communal about the whole thing. You know, we all played the small circle of games that had been around for years, and even though we weren't massive gamers through and through, that didn't matter because we didn't need to play new games every week. We had a small number of games that we all played together. And now I feel we're a little bit spoilt for choice since Steam came along. I know that with a lot of free software people I know, games don't fall under the same principles as tools and free software platforms and things like that, because maybe that, you know, that like they're a luxury item, they're a product, that, you know, that should we say less important, a fun optional extra. And I'd certainly can see that, and I subscribe to that idea to a point, but it does feel that like a lot of the stuff that was on Windows has come over to Linux, and it's not necessarily all been good all the time. I think that, you know, like when it comes to a gaming platform, there's something to be said for letting Windows have that, and letting the free software games just reside on Linux. And I even remember the early days of when Steam came to Linux, and every time there was a new release, there was a little bit of a celebration, and I started playing games that I wouldn't usually play simply because there were so few games available on Linux, and I enjoyed it. It pushed me out of my comfort zone. It made me grateful for what we did have. And now I just feel like I did when I was back on Linux, is that the, you know, I've got access to any game I could possibly want, and I feel that it's not as special as it used to be, I guess. And yeah, I know that that kind of thing, it does not necessarily fly for a lot of gaming people who would want to get onto Linux, but I don't necessarily know how many people that is. So I suppose in all, I have been thinking about what, you know, where can free software go? If, for example, you have a free software platform like Linux, but all you do is load games and proprietary software onto it, then really you might as well be on Windows in that regard. And you know, I suppose in you know, when it comes to free software thought, do we want more and more people to use free software, or do we want to make free software better for those that do use it and appreciate it? Do we want to sort of go out there and make free software, you know, like to promote the ideals of free software and the importance of it? And I think a lot of that is because it's important to keep, you know, new talent and new people coming into the free software communities and the free software world. What we don't want is to become a bunch of dinosaurs and have the free software movement die off with us. I suppose that's also going to mean a fair amount of keeping with the times, and I don't know how much dogmatism that will allow for as well. I like seeing free software on as many computers as possible, even if that computer is running Windows or even if that phone is running Android. It's still, in my opinion, worth running F-Droid in those particular instance, or, you know, still promoting free software because it, you know, still normalizes the process. But also, I suppose fundamentally, it's also worthwhile to make sure that free software is being promoted for the right reasons, because as it has been mentioned to me before, free software, if you're selling it on the merits of quality alone, any time a proprietary solution comes past that's better, then most people will end up using it. As Andrew Yang likes to say, no one wants to use the second best GPS, which is fair. I think it's got me thinking about a lot of places where I think free software ought to grow, and I'm probably going to share them with you over the course of this blog. So thank you very much for joining me. Please share your thoughts. You can send them over to my email, chrisware@postio.net. And yeah, I hope you folks will join me for this minimalist thought experiment. I can assure you that future... I hope throughout this audio clip I've not been referring to this as a video. future clips are not going to be as chaotic as this. This is just a bit of an introduction and just sharing some thoughts about where I think the free software world is. But also, I'm going to sort of crystallize these, I think, over the course of the coming month and share them with you. But also, I did just want to give this a bit of a shot as to, you know, having a Gemini podcasty type thing that... that is, you know, self-hosted and all that. So yeah, thank you very much for joining me. It's a pleasure as always. And until next time, I've been Chris Ware, and you've been awesome. Toodaloo.